Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, this is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocates. Today my guest is Jim West. I was going to have Jim West on previously to speak about ultrasound, and he has a lot of really important information in that regard, but he or I were cut out of our own interview, so it's taken us 2 years to get back on track. However, we're going to start today with the West Nile spraying. They should have been Zika spraying West Nile. I don't know what's in it. I know that there's a lot of people who seem to know what's in it. But, you know, I haven't done any testing, you know, and they wanted to know when I said there were birds dead on their back in my neighborhood last time they sprayed for West Nile. They're like, did you do a toxicology report? I'm like, no, why didn't you? You know, for God's sake. I didn't even put it together. I didn't even know that it was a result of the West Nile spraying. Other people are the ones who put me on to that. So I take this very seriously. I have a small animal. I have grown children, but imagine if you had small children. Let's get real here. This is a genuine bona fide threat and not one that I am taking lightly, nor should you. Okay, let me open up this interview with Jim West. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Sally. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me today.
Well, you're happy and I'm silly. Okay.
I am still waking up.
Well, the last time you were on, I got a letter from Kathy Sinnott, former member of the European Parliament, telling me I have to interview Jim West. How do you like them apples? So I got back to her and said, well, we were cut off, and hopefully one day I will interview him, and today's the day. But I want you to talk about, and I haven't even had time because of all the interruptions before the show, to read what you wrote about these sprayings and about polio. Are they intertwined?
Definitely. The polio, West Nile virus, Zika virus, they all have a common history, which is to use the pesticide spraying programs as a what I see as a diversion from real. They intertwine a virus causation with pesticide spraying, and together that forms a disinformational pattern, which is there to block real environmental problems.
Well,
hello?
Expound. Yes, please expound.
Okay. What do you say?
I said, please expound. Expound on what it
okay,
is
great.
Your opening
yeah.
statement. I know
yeah,
that
there
you've
was
got
a
lot to back that up, so please feel free to speak as if you were reading.
There's a slight cutout in your voice coming over to me for some reason.
Let's not quit that. Just continue as if everything were going fine, because you can be heard very clearly. So
okay,
just
great.
You take over and be as explicit as you can be about this West Nile spraying and polio. And then we'll move on to ultrasound, and you will have the floor once again to say everything you need to say. We only have 45 minutes, so let's move on it.
Okay, thank you. Well, currently there is a big scare over Zika virus and the effects it may have on a woman's pregnancy. There are vaccine programs in the wings being prepared. There is a big epidemic in Brazil, especially Northeast Brazil, which is said to be Zika virus, even though they admit that they don't have proof of that. Billions of dollars are being funded to the Zika virus mosquito campaigns. They want to kill mosquitoes that supposedly carry a Zika virus. This is all just a disinformational campaign to fill the newspapers up with unproven material. There is something else causing microcephaly in Northeast Brazil. Nobody knows what that is yet. But immediately, the CDC and WHO, World Health Organization, began to fill the headlines with the fear of the Zika virus. And that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be, because this is a top priority for industry.
Well,
to keep everybody...
what I have read, and I have seen so many articles on this, is that it's the DTaP, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine that they're giving to the pregnant women in Brazil. Dr. Vera Scheifner said that when they give that vaccine, the children are born with small brains, and when they don't, they're not, okay? And then the spraying of pesticides is another reason that a lot of people have pointed to as a cause for this microcephaly or the shrunken brain. So they're, you know, all I can say is, so there are two possible potential and realistic scenarios. None of them seem to be tied to the mosquito, you know? So what's the deal with that other than disinformation and propaganda? And poisoning
well, are,
with the same pesticides which may be causing microcephaly.
Right. Pesticides, I think, could contribute, and Tdap could contribute. However, the timeline doesn't really work out too well with the epidemic. The actual timeline of the microcephaly epidemic in Brazil began in 2012, and it's been growing ever since into 2016. The Tdap vaccine was launched as a priority in Brazil in 2015, around I believe it was October 2015. So that
okay, then there's another thing. I have another issue. I was told by a researcher, two researchers, that when a pregnant woman is given the result of her pregnancy test, she's immediately given the MMR vaccine. So that would be uber early in the pregnancy. And I don't know how far back that goes. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't heard that.
Okay, I've heard it from two different sources now.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know how far back though. That I don't have a date that originates on, but I can certainly ask those two sources, and I will.
Right. That'd be great. I have followed every lead that comes up there is nothing that is specific to the states in the Northeast Brazil that is suddenly different than what they were doing before or different from the rest of Brazil. This is very localized to Northeast Brazil. And so it's still in limbo as far as I'm concerned. I love to follow up on environmental causation, but I think it's still hanging in the air. But all these things that you're saying are certainly contributors, but I don't see a really big smoking gun thing like I did when I was studying West Nile virus and DDT. I studied the West Nile virus epidemic. beginning in 1999, when the city of New York began spraying the city with pesticides to kill the mosquito that supposedly was carrying a West Nile virus. So there is a parallel there. And what was happening is that in 1997 and 1998, preceding 1999, when the epidemic was declared, there was an increasing number of birds and squirrels that were dying every year, every summer. And in 1999, the EPA Blue Ribbon Panel canceled they advised the cancellation of a gasoline additive, which was as high as 15% of New York City gasoline. and that was MTBE, methyl tertiary butyl ether, which is a poison. They put it in the gasoline. I believe it was just to be able to dump petrochemical garbage into the gasoline stream. But they rationalize it as a actually as an environmental program to oxygenate the gasoline. But I think that was just a cover for dumping garbage into the gasoline stream. So
yeah, well, I mean, isn't that what they do with the fluoride? They used to have to pay to put fluoride in the water because it was hazardous waste. So they
exactly.
had to pay. And now we pay them to put hazardous waste in our water supply.
Exactly.
And they're thinking of increasing it upstate and on Long Island. I don't know if you're aware of that, Jim.
Okay.
They had a hearing about that.
Right. And they rationalize it as a health measure. That's what's crazy about it.
Well, they've had no hearings about this. I talked to my councilwoman, and I said, you're spraying us, and when was the hearing? I seem to have missed the hearing on this. She said, well, there was no hearing. I said, so when will the hearing be? There won't be a hearing. I said, oh, you're kidding. You are just going to spray us without hearing what we have to say about this? And she said, well, if you want to talk to someone, you should talk to the community board. There are 50 appointees who've been sworn in. I'm like, well, whoop-de-doo. I didn't appoint them. You know, who appointed them? I didn't elect them. What you're telling me is these are 50 people who I didn't elect, who you want me to talk to before, and they can represent me to you, who is the elected official. Come now. This is the second time I've been given this line. You can't talk directly to us. You got to go talk to the community board, and they'll talk to us.
Right. Well, the No Spray Coalition went through hell and high water, similarly as you did, and eventually they ended up suing the city of New York over the spray campaign regarding the West Nile virus. That went on for quite a long time, the lawsuit, I believe a couple of years. And we managed to get the city to be aware of the damage that these pesticides can cause, because the mayor, Giuliani, was claiming that malathion, the pesticide they were dumping from helicopters all over the city, he was saying this is harmless. And the Attorney General of New York State actually did tell Giuliani that it's illegal for him to say that.
See, this is the same line I was getting from Mayor Bloomberg about the gases in the subway. And, you know, once they had sprayed these gases, and I've gone out to the health committee as well many, many times to say don't do this, because these are perfluorocarbons, and these are the reactions I know to them. Turns out they were actually worse. The reactions were worse. Once they sprayed it, they let the cat out of the bag. They told you everything, including sterilization, you can expect from these perfluorocarbons they were spraying. Ha! Huh. Yeah. And that's afterwards. And I heard back from all of the people I had contacted afterwards, after it was sprayed. I couldn't even get it on WBAI. They kept hanging up the phone every time I brought it up. And afterwards, they had a program about it.
Right. It's just like vaccines. It's irrational, constant. It's just harassment, constant harassment to keep us from thinking about more important issues that we should be thinking about and working on in this world. Probably to keep people in positions where they can exploit us by creating irrational fears.
The fact that it took 2 years to get any acknowledgement, by then they'd well sprayed us. This particular campaign, which is for West Nile and Zika, according to the PDF from nyc.gov/health, which is where I was told by the news to turn to find out when you'd be sprayed. This is a 3-year program. They have set aside millions of dollars to spray us over the course of 3 years. And I'm saying, well, I don't even want it once, let alone over the course of 3 years.
Well, they've been spraying
but
for...
But there are no hearings. Where's my voice? How can I express my voice? I'm going to take you to the steps of City Hall. I hope you'll join me and all your friends.
Right. I hope it happens. But I am skeptical because of all the we went through. However, I think that we did wake up the scientists, because the scientists, the medical officials and the officials in New York, I think they are incredibly naive. They actually tend to believe what the CDC says about the harmlessness of these pesticides and the fear of the virus. And I think we did sort of wake them up to the view that there is a, this is sort of a game, and that a lot of what they're being told is false. Because we did win a lot in as far as awareness goes, but we didn't win much in terms of compensation or changing of regulations and rules.
Exactly. So awareness without action is just misery. That's just pure misery.
Well,
let's all be
well,
aware
it did,
that we're being poisoned, you know?
I know. It did. Well, after the first year when they were poisoning us, they want to. This is like a military campaign. It was really horrible. They had every day you turn on the TV and it would say the deadly virus. It was this, you know, they have a big placard behind the newscasters, the deadly virus, and they would have helicopters launching into the air with these pesticide application apparatus. It's basically, you know, it's just there to fill the TV screens with BS.
And
you
perhaps
know,
to spread a virus, and perhaps to spread that same virus they're saying we should be worried about. See, that's the whole deal here. What is it spraying with, and what effect will it have on us? I'm not afraid of these mosquitoes one bit.
Right. I've gotten very cynical about the word virus. When I studied the DDT polio situation, which is just a mirror image of the West Nile virus spray campaign, a mirror image of the Zika virus, I begin to doubt that there actually is a virus, because if you read the literature of virology, you can see that there's no real rigorous proof that the virus even exists. It's just something they can pin the donkey. They can pin their fear on. I know that's heretical, but if you look up the Perth group, it's a group of scientists in Perth, Australia, who have a website called theperthgroup.com, and they describe how the HIV virus really has no logical foundation. They deconstruct it. And you can apply that to just about any virus, such as the West Nile virus or the Zika virus or the polio virus. It's a way of avoiding toxicology for disease. If you look at any of these germ paradigms, you'll find that if you look at a germ paradigm, you find that there is an avoidance of toxicology. When they diagnose anybody, they never look at the environment. If you go to a doctor and say, I have the flu, he should be asking you if your kitchen is ventilated, if your stove is ventilated. He should be asking you if your boiler is ventilated. But no, he's telling you you have the flu, you have a virus, and you should start taking whatever medicine he gives you. This is the way medicine works. It's just one big disinformational campaign to get people not to think about their environment, because that brings about liabilities for industry when people start thinking about their environment. So they cast these huge media campaigns demonizing a virus. A virologist or a biochemist named Howard Ernovitz, as soon as I published, as I just within months after I published my DDT polio article in the Townsend Letter for Doctors and Patients. He came out on a website with a beautiful article that was written in conjunction with a journalist named Nina Ostrom. And this article went through the technology of polio virology. He went through the famous papers that claim they had proved the existence of the polio virus, and he showed that they are unfounded. They're no better than taking an extract of feces from a diseased patient and injecting them in mice to see if they can create disease. And if they create any form of disease, whether or not it even looks like polio, they will declare that this is proof that they found a virus. Although they're not looking at a virus, they're not seeing a virus in their microscopes, they're not able to characterize a virus. So this is where I've ended up, and it puts me at a distance from the traditional anti-vaccine
right.
group. Or right.
No, actually, it doesn't, because I want you to look at my friend Jim O'Kelly's website, Shots of Truth. That's plural, shotsoftruth.com, and he is saying that viruses don't exist. So he runs the Anti-Vaccine League of America. A new one. So please do look at that website, because I just had him on the other day explaining very similar to what you're saying, but not citing those sources.
Great, great. Well, it's
yeah.
the easiest way. Once you get your mind around the idea that viruses are a disinformational icon, it really clears your brain of a lot of high-tech BS that you don't have to deal with. If anybody says the word virus, all you have to do is ask them, where did they discount during their virological studies? Where did they discount the toxicological causation, the possible toxicological causation? For instance, if you look at any polio epidemic, you'll find huge pesticide spray campaigns. And if you look at, although they do claim that ancient Greeks and Romans had polio, but they have no basis to say that. There are paralyzed people in ancient times, but those people also were working in ceramic and blacksmith shops, and they were exposed to vapors of mercury, and they put it in their records that way back in the ancient times, they do have records of mercury poisoning, and they describe it.
Mm.
As causing paralysis. So nobody can say polio, you know, was caused by a polio virus without looking at the toxicological environmental context. And this is just the standard way that medicine always works. It always avoids talking about the toxicology. During the West Nile virus epidemic, around 2002, in the Brigantine Park of New Jersey, which is a federal park, thousands of birds just fell out of the sky. I mean, this happens to be a conflux of all the industries in Delaware, Jersey, and New York City, and the federal rangers on that park have always been complaining that the air pollution is killing the park. It's killing the animals. And here we have thousands of really heavy geese falling out of the air and just dead, hitting the road. And
mention that they were spraying the wetlands first, I believe back in June. They were spraying the wetlands in Staten Island and in Queens. And my friend who lives on Staten Island said that there was a report of all these dead fish in New Jersey, which is right across from where they were spraying it. So she was saying, you know, maybe the fish wound up in New Jersey. I'm not near the water, so I've only seen dead birds after this West Nile spraying. But there was a major story of millions of fish dead just a couple of days ago or a few days ago. I'll send you that article and see if you can, you know, if you think that that is relevant.
Well, it's relevant, but when you see birds falling out of the sky, that's pretty good. I mean, I'm sure the pesticides are contributors or a cause in certain situations, but squirrels falling out of trees and birds falling out of the sky is pretty much an air pollution. It's really a miner's canary situation. I'm all against pesticides, and at first, because of my DDT polio articles and research, when the West Nile virus epidemic began, my first idea was that this must be pesticides, but I couldn't get that to lock together. But eventually I found out that the EPA, at the peak of the epidemic in 1999 in July, coincidentally canceled and urged the ban of MTBE and gasoline. And it's, I did, if you look at my website, I've done about 20 megabytes of research going into the history of air pollution and correlating day by day every toxicological air pollution event with the West Nile virus positives. I also did a county by county correlation associating air pollution events with West Nile virus positives, and they're all just really great correlations.
Well, do you know how to do toxicology reports? Do you know what labs to send them to and things of that nature? Because if after they spray us, which may be tonight, if I find on my block, if I find it may rain and then they won't. They put it off last night. They were supposed to spray and it rained, so they put it off. So it's supposed to rain possibly on and off for the next 5 days. So I don't know what day it's going to go down. But regardless, it's going to go down for 3 years. I mean, this to me is really appalling. It's not even a hit-and-run operation. It's a hit-and-run and hit and hit and hit and hit. So, I mean, after 3 years steadily of this kind of madness, who's going to be left breathing? As you say, it's a canary in the coal mine, and these dead birds are those canaries, you know?
Right.
So can I send you a bird if I find one?
Well, let me tell you, the New York State has a wildlife pathology laboratory, and anybody can send this laboratory, which they used to be run by Ward Stone, who is a wildlife pathologist, toxicologist, and he will analyze these birds in terms of toxicology. However, I'm not sure if Ward Stone is still there, but we went through a lot of this type of conversation during the West Nile virus fiasco in the early 2000 decade. And Ward Stone is, he'll do toxicology, but he is politically handcuffed, in my opinion. And
well,
he's widely...
the state, how are we going to get the truth if it's a governmental run program when it's the government who's fostering this program on us?
Right. Well, I have been at a high level environmental meeting, and the director of this meeting, I mean, who is a very important person, just said that if any scientist, journalist, or politician mentions or criticizes a virus paradigm during these epidemics, that funding and employment will end overnight. You know, and so the handcuffs are pretty tough. If you try to talk about these topics to any politician, you will find they will be walking away from you as quick as they can.
The whole hoax rests upon this misinformation. So clarify it, if we bring it to light, then everything falls apart. Well, it sounds like we have a mission, a very serious mission, which is to bring this to light. Jim, I don't want to... Yep. I do not want to delve into, with the 15 minutes we have left, ultrasound. If there are any major points that you would like to conclude this discussion with, please do so now, and then we'll move on to ultrasound.
Okay. Well, I think that the salvation of humanity, as you do, or at least for some of humanity, is just awareness, trying to fly a little bit under the radar and allow the powers to be to regulate this flow of knowledge a little bit, so it doesn't create too shocking of a message and end up having your website taken down, and just spread the information and keep talking about it. But I think the core point, every issue we're talking about, is that industry doesn't want its products to be attacked on an environmental basis. So it will fund the different disinformational germ theories, and it will get into these big campaigns like vaccines and mosquito spray campaigns, just to test our ability to obey and test our ability to believe. And it's a serious military operation. The CDC, the Public Health Service, they're all at their roots, part of the United States military, part of the worldwide military, because they have a European CDC, they have a United States CDC, and it looks like Brazil is pretty much, also it's right down in the same line. It seems to be heavily influenced by the CDC and the World Health Organization. But
the governor of Puerto Rico said you can't spray this stuff in our backyard, and that they're not spraying in Puerto Rico. And now, then I saw an ad for the CDC saying we're looking for families to promote something, families of actors, but who are actually families, to promote something in New York and somewhere else in Puerto Rico. And I thought, well, they're not giving up on Puerto Rico, even though the governor has said you may not spray it. You can take it back where it came from. We need more principled people who are just standing up to say, not on my watch, it's great that he's in a position of power, but I think we as individuals need to stand up and say, I've got kids, I've got animals, I love birds. It's called survival. And I think that why wouldn't we go to the mat to fight for our survival?
Well, we should go to... we should fight for our survival, but it's scary. Like I just said, I remember one of the Rolling Stones guitar players or whatever it was, his new girlfriend or wife was an environmentalist, and so she talked him into using his publicity power as a Rolling Stone rocker to promote certain environmental agendas. And then I read that he was saying, these people play hardball, and he backed off. They can be really tough.
No, I really get that, because a major activist who's picture appeared in the paper holding up a sign, we don't pay you to poison us, stop the aerial spraying, and she was talking about the Zika virus. She was in a major car accident, and many believe that this was not an accident. So she was standing up for her daughter, because one of the components in the thing that they're spraying creates, they were saying, encephalopathy, and her daughter is autistic. So this would only worsen her daughter's already extreme situation. So here's a mother standing up to protect her child. And I take them seriously. Absolutely.
Right. But there's a two-prong situation when somebody dies like that. One, you have a martyr created, and if they wanted to they could just have her die of a slow disease. You know what I mean? Without creating a martyr.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what they're all, that's what they're, how they're killing all of us, is by this slow disease. You know,
yeah,
I was saying to someone the other day who was talking to someone about vaccines, and her child is having a terrible reaction to multiple shots. And it to be expected. It doesn't mean it's normal. It's typical, but it's not a normal situation for a child to be, you know, screaming with rashes and all the rest of it. But I just said to her, listen, let her know that with every vaccine that her child, every dose of vaccine, you lose 2 IQ points. And you abbreviate the child's lifespan, if nothing else. If she doesn't believe the ear infections and the rashes and the seizures are a result of the vaccine, let her know that she's just lowering her child's IQ and shortening her child's life. And if that's good with her, well, she's the mom.
Right. Yeah, I try not to be too diplomatic. I just say it straight out. I don't have time to be... We don't have a lifetime to be diplomatic and
well,
with people.
Well, this is what I'm saying here. Exactly. We don't have a lifetime. Exactly. We
right.
are fighting for our lives, and diplomacy is at the bottom of my list of considerations.
Right. And I wish people would check out the Perth Group, which has it's pretty technical, and but it gives you a way to eliminate a huge amount of dead wood, which is all this argument about viruses. And, you know, like if people believe viruses are dangerous, then one way to advertise a vaccine is to what ends up is the anti-vaccine crowd ends up promoting vaccines by telling stories like, oh, the vaccine was a bad batch and you have to watch out for vaccines because they could be a bad batch. And
yeah,
the virus
and they're
could,
all hot lots. That's what I say. They're all hot lots.
Yeah, the virus could escape and it could create another epidemic. You know, you have most vaccine people are sort of talking like that when they should be saying, look, vaccines are complete BS. They're disinformation. There is no virus. Just check out the PerthGroup.com. You know, and get down to the core argument. But the thing is, that a lot of people have already invested their anti-vaccine strategies, and they don't want to change and argue these positions out. But that's just the way it is. I think we need some point by point debates and arguments over this issue. I'm all for anybody who wants to fight vaccines, no matter how they want to do it. But I'm just saying is we could get down to the simplicity of...
Right,
of,
start at the very beginning, which is the virus and all the misinformation that surrounds that issue.
Right, it's not complex what they're doing. And when you can eliminate the greatest complexity, I mean, virology exists purely by impressing people with its complexity and its intellectualism. But... if you look carefully, you'll see that the word toxicology doesn't exist in any virological literature when they're trying to develop a disease paradigm. And that right there should be the end of virology. They cannot characterize a virus if they haven't looked at the toxicology. You know, it's that simple.
Well, now we only have 6 minutes left, and I absolutely insist that we address ultrasound right now.
Okay. For 3 years now, I've been studying ultrasound. The reason is because I read Dr. Mendelsohn years ago, and he woke me up to the fact that ultrasound is dangerous. I've tried to tell those who I'm very close to avoid it. And to my amazement, they reject it. Women have such a fear of birth that they do not even want to think that ultrasound could be dangerous because they have this idea that ultrasound will somehow save them from all their fears of birth and that it's a magic tool.
I'll be honest with you. I've been pregnant. And I never asked for ultrasound. I didn't want ultrasound. I was just made to believe that it was part and parcel of the process. And so they showed me, don't you want to know if your child's a boy or a girl? I said, no, I don't. And they wound up doing an ultrasound anyway. Now, that's something I should have rejected, but I didn't know what you're about to impart.
Right. They say it's harmless. You won't hear a whisper that ultrasound is controversial in the media. They say it's like a bird call or a bat call, and that it's or cricket. It's just a natural sound, but it's far from the truth. It turns out that most of the science that exists in the modern era on ultrasound is based on human studies of the fetus, where they exposed women to ultrasound. They gave them an abortion, which they had volunteered for, and then they analyzed the aborted matter, and they found that this aborted matter on the cellular level is damaged. And this is at very low levels, less than you could find in a typical clinical situation. So it is definitely controversial. And I think another thing that's, I think one way to get a handle on this is if you're talking to your doctor and he says, oh, ultrasound is harmless, you should ask him why he doesn't tell you that it's controversial, because he knows it's controversial. Why is he so interested?
Now, why is it controversial? What does it bring about in the fetus?
It damages the cells. It destroys the mitochondria. It destroys the DNA of the cells. This is very obvious, very clear. And it could be at the basis. It could be the basic cause of autism very easily. Studies even find that it correlates with autism. But they just rationalize their findings away as being statistically insignificant, or they'll rationalize it five different other ways. But they do find ultrasound to be dangerous. And there are many studies which I found by going into Chinese databases, which were not released to the Western realm until fairly recently. And I found them online, and I translated them with Google Translate, and I compiled them into a bibliography, which I have online. If you go to my website, just Google Jim West ultrasound, and you'll find my website. And I have this compilation of and commentary based on these Chinese studies, which are just amazing. They're it's like a breath of honesty, breath of fresh air.
And within two minutes, what did you find?
Just at every aspect of the fetus. The Chinese studies study the thyroid, the brain, the eyes. They studied cells. They studied animals. But basically, they studied 2,700 women with about 100 studies over a 23-year period of time, and every study basically indicts ultrasound. They were summed up by a worldwide famous ultrasound scientist in that if you should avoid ultrasound. And number two, if you must have ultrasound, it shouldn't go beyond 3 minutes or at the most 5 minutes total exposure. Other scientists find that it's like x-rays. Okay, that's it.
I want to thank you, Jim West. And if you'd like to put a list of adverse reactions to ultrasound in the comment area or your article, we would very much value that. Thanks to everyone for tuning into Public Advocate today. My guest has been Jim West. My name is Sally Olcordy. Thanks for tuning in.